Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Ontario country artist Steve Rivers is here to talk about his music career, songwriting, new songs, and much more. He is the CMAO Artist of the Month, and you can find that article online at cmaontario.ca. Welcome him to the show now, Steve Rivers. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, and great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, it's great to be back here. It's been a while since I've talked to you, actually.
It has been, and so there's a lot to catch up on, and I've had a chance to see you at least once in between shows, and most recently at the Cadillac Lounge, part of Canadian Music Week. I was there to check out some bands, and you were there that night and a couple of nights prior to actually perform during Canadian Music Week. How did that go for you this year?
It was fantastic. We played on the Thursday night, May 8th, and had a really great turnout, and just really happy to be back in Toronto playing the Cadillac Lounge again. It's such a great venue, for the great people. Sam is a fantastic manager of the place, so we really love playing there.
It's a great place to head down to on Queen Street in Toronto, and they do a lot of these different events, Songwriters Nights and Canadian Music Week. And, it's a great stage and great times when you head out there. Your latest album is called Temptations, and we're going to talk about that. You've got a brand new album that you're working on to be released a bit later this year or early next year, and we'll get to that. But let's talk about Temptations. You had a couple of singles off that, Uncomplicated and Mess It Up. How did it feel, Steve, to get that album out there and get the response that you did?
That was really good, actually, because that album, too, was a long time coming. I think the album I released even before that was like something like 4 years, and I feel like I grew a lot in those four years as a songwriter. I moved to Nashville in later 08, just after I finished the music industry program at Fanshawe. And my teachers just kind of told me to get down there and, if I wanted to be a songwriter, learn from the best. And, I really kind of focused in those years on working my craft and working with some good mentors and stuff. So to put out that record was a really good accomplishment of kind of to look back on all the things I kind of worked on over those years, and still growing as a songwriter myself, like to this day. But I think it was a really good snapshot of what I kind of did in those 4 years.
They really do say, they, as in people in the music business, say to go to Nashville, whether it's just for some trips or move down there. Probably take the trips at first to sort of figure it all out. But what is it for you, Steve, about Nashville that adds to your musical progress and just understanding the whole country music business?
I think it's just being around good music all the time. For anything, really, if you surround yourself with really successful people in a craft, whether it's, cooking or sports playing or whatever, if you're around those kind of people all the time, you're going to soak up a lot of tips and stuff. And, being around that culture of music and stuff, I think I really just tried to take something away from everybody as I wrote with somebody or went and saw an act live. I think I just tried to absorb as much as I can. And I think that's what, during that time when I first went down there, I had a record that I obviously did, and I showed it to a lot of people, and, it just wasn't up to par with what was coming out of there commercially. So, I kind of put that record away in my drawer and just kind of put the guitar down for a little bit and did a lot of listening,
Yeah, I think that's an important time to reinvent yourself, refocus, and as you said, listen to other songs, I assume, and just understand the craft better, because there is a craft to it beyond the initial inspiration of a song. Okay, this is a great idea, but how do you craft it? And I liked on that subject, Steve, reading where you had said when you approach a song, you avoid the cliches, because that's easy to fall into, so you really work on a fresh angle for a song.
Oh, I try to, anyway. I mean,
it's
definitely easier said than done. I mean, a lot of times when you're in a co-write, I mean, it's very easy to go to the, the typical routes or things. But sometimes it is good to go there, and then take a step back and say, okay, now how can we say this? We know what we want to say, but how can we say this in a fresh way that hasn't been said 30 times, you know? And
right.
Sometimes you really nail that on the head, and sometimes you're just kind of dancing around it, but you just try to keep writing up, you know?
Yeah, you just said they're writing up. So I've heard that term to do with finding other writers who have had a higher level of success. I mean, obviously there's writers at different levels. So you find those writers and you learn from them, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've been really fortunate to have a few people that kind of have mentored me across, over the years and stuff. And it's also good to find people that are kind of outside what you write normally. Like I have a few people I'm writing with now that aren't really big country writers, but they bring a different side, different perspective of things that kind of help you get out of that cliche
right.
sort of avenue. And, you know, I dominantly write country music, but a lot of times, you know, it's good to write outside of that and bring other influences from, you know, folk rock and some pop stuff and, you know, just anything that kind of get you out of a rut and just kind of expand your horizons a little bit.
That makes total sense. I think it would be interesting to do that if you predominantly write country and now you're working with a pop writer or even a different genre, but it's going to bring something fresh to the writing. And I think if you took a song like that and kept the instrumentation country, you could bring something fresh to it, you know, push it a little to the edge.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even the thing we're talking about instrumentation stuff, I mean, you can even mess around with different rhythms and beats and stuff. And, you know, I'm not talking about going completely electronic or anything like that, but, you know, there's always different ways to kind of push the envelope.
Sure.
I guess the best example I can think of that right now is the latest Eric Church record, The Outsiders. There's so much really cool stuff on there that they really tried to push the envelope and not go that cliche route. And I think there's a couple songs on there where the rhythm changes like four or five times during a track, and it really keeps your ear, you know, in focus, right? But
Yeah,
almost like our modern-day Dark Side of the Moon.
Exactly, yeah. He really was adventurous with that album and the first single, The Outsiders. But, you know, there were mixed thoughts on it because it was, you know, really pushed the boundaries of a country song and more on a rock song. The current one that I love is Give Me Back My Hometown, which is, it's rock, but it's definitely country as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, these days, I mean, when you think of country, it's, you know, country is the music that kind of defines a culture, and there's a lot of debates right now about, you know, what is country anymore and this and that, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, if the song encompasses or reflects a culture and people's lives, that is country music. I mean, that's what it's always been, and I think as long as it still does that, then it's still, it can be classified as country, you know, music, you know,
yeah.
North American country music.
Exactly, yeah, it's telling the stories of our lives, and lives have changed since the 50s and 60s, so the music is going to reflect that, maybe different topics it'll take on, or different production and changes, and I think everybody loves to hear it stay at a certain core, but even that is, I mean, it's just such a wide range, and it depends on who you ask, of course, because everybody's got
Absolutely.
A different opinion on, you know, the kind of country they want to hear. But let's talk about, first of all, the CMAO, the Country Music Association of Ontario. Those awards are coming up this Monday night, May 26th, in Markham. Last year you were nominated for Rising Star, which was very cool. And this year, in the current publication online, you're the Artist of the Month. So, Steve, how important is the CMAO for artists like yourself?
It's really important for, especially Ontario music, because for a long time we didn't really have anything here, and I think the CMAO now is almost 5 years old, so it's really grown, and it's been really awesome to see how you know, Sam and Amanda and Cadence and everyone who works there have taken it and really steered the ship in the right direction. So now we have, you know, a platform for country music in this province to grow and kind of have a home base. You know, other provinces have done it really well, like Alberta and Saskatchewan and, you know, BC and everything. So it's really nice that now we have our own thing to identify what is our brand of country music in Canada. So
definitely. And the award show last year was just flawless. It was done so well. Charlie Major is the host and so many big names and newcomers. And this year, sold out a couple of weeks ago. And Jason McCoy hosting, and again, it'll be a lineup, the who's who of Ontario country music. The website is cmaontario.ca. Once again, cmaontario.ca for people to check it out. But the lineup is amazing this year. Who are you most looking forward to seeing, Steve, or a couple of the artists?
Definitely looking forward to seeing Derek again. I mean, he's definitely one of those all-star writers that we produce out of, not only out of Ontario, but of Canada. I mean, he's had such a successful run and continues to do so. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him. Of course, Kira Zabella, she's got that great song on the radio right now, so I'm really looking forward to seeing her.
Oh, yeah. Quarterback. Love
and,
that one.
Yeah, and I'm hoping Western String Authority will be back again this year playing. I really love listening to those guys play. So
they have an amazing, you're right, they have an amazing sound, and I'm 99% sure they are the house band once again this year, along with Wendell Ferguson, so they'll be doing all the music throughout the show. The CMAO Demoramas have taken place, and there's been a bunch of them. I know you were involved in one, so let's talk about that. There is sort of like a talent competition or a talent showcase for Ontario artists to kind of to win in their local area and then to move up to more of the finals.
Yeah, I competed in one back in, I think it was the fall of last year in Hamilton, and had a pretty good go at it. And that was a really good opportunity to meet other writers, upcoming writers in the in not only in your local area, but also across the province. I think when they did the finals at Boots and Bourbon, they had a couple girls from Kingston come down, some people from North Bay, just all across the province. And it was just really cool to see, meet up people that are doing the same thing as you. And a whole new generation. There were a lot of young people there that were, like, 13, 14 competing. And just the level of talent out of them was just, remarkable. So
pretty amazing for them to bring Ontario artists together like that. Steve, we're going to turn to a song of yours called When the Time is Right. And tell me a bit about the song and the writing behind it, Steve, and then we'll share it with our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote this one with a good friend of mine named Drew Gregory, who's from Calgary. Upcoming artist out there, and a good friend of mine down in Nashville named Dakota J. And we were kind of just messing around one night with a few ideas, and Drew had this idea for the song called When the Time is Right, and we just kind of sat on it for a little bit and talked about, different opportunities in our lives where, sometimes you wish you got a certain job opportunity or, you're with a girl that you kind of broke up and you wish, it kind of went the right way, but then you look back on something, a couple years later or and you go, thank God it didn't happen because something better came along. And that's kind of the premise for the song, and it kind of focuses more towards a love song. But that was the basic idea behind it.
And let's hear it now. This is Steve Rivers, When the Time is Right, on In the Country.
Could be in a truck bed down where the river bends. I'll be holding you tight in the pale moonlight as the water rolls by. When the time is right, or running for your front door in the middle of a downpour, stripping down in the kitchen, laughing and kissing when you get inside. When the time is right. When the time is right, you're gonna give in to my love. Gonna wear you down soon enough. You can play hard to get, you can put up a fight, but girl, you're gonna fall. Dance floor, we're swinging on the back porch. It could be anywhere, baby, I don't care, 'cause when the time is right, I'm gonna make you mine. 'Cause when the time is right, you're gonna give in to my love. I'm gonna wear you down soon enough. You can play hard to get, you can put up a fight, but girl, you're gonna fall when the time is right. When the ceiling's jacked, when the stars line up, when the moon sets in, gonna kiss you like the world's about to end. 'Cause when the time is right, you're gonna give in to my love. Gonna wear you down soon enough. You can play hard to get, you can put girl, you're gonna fall when the time is right.
And that is my guest, Steve Rivers, When the Time is Right, here on In the Country. And that song and all the songs we're sharing on the show today can be found on his current album called Temptations, and that is available at iTunes. You can also head to steverivers.com. Steve, that's just got such a nice feel to it, sort of a warm country song. You feel good listening to it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I was just kind of listening back to it and just thinking about when we recorded it. We had Scotty Sanders come in to play dobro. We recorded the record down in Nashville, and Scotty's played on so many great records, and I really feel like he just kind of brought the right treatment to that song with adding that instrument. I mean, there were so many good players on the record, but on that particular song, Scotty just brought this certain flavor to it that was like the icing on the cake that just kind of made you go, yeah, that's it, you know?
That's got to be a great feeling, because you've written the song, and now you're hearing it produced. And as you said, Scotty added a certain something to it. So you're hearing this song in your mind that you played on guitar, maybe heard some pre-production, but you're really getting amazed to hear the final product.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's even when other people record your songs, too, it adds a whole other dimension to, you know, in your head you have this whole thing that when you're writing, but when you see what other players can bring to it, that really brings the artistry to it, to a song. And even with what we're doing now in the studio, I mean, we've had some great players come in on it, and just hearing, you know, the different translations of how someone interprets your song, it's so cool. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to sit back and go, whoa, I wasn't really thinking that. But then when you sit back a little bit and absorb it, you go, you know what, that's actually really, really cool. And then you start working with it, and, you know, it's really great to write a song, but it's other, you know, musicianship is also something I really value, and
yeah.
You get the right players on board, there's a certain chemistry that happens, you know.
Oh, I bet. And they say that obviously the song has to be there first. It's all about the song. But at the same time, I think if it's produced right with those special licks and those special touches that these musicians bring, they definitely can take a great song and take it to that next level where it's, you know, an amazing song. Production really is a key factor.
Absolutely, yeah. It really is like a triple marriage of so many different things. Like I said, the song, number one, the artist, and, you know, the right song with the right artist, and then the right production on it and performance. I think that really comes down to it, too.
Yeah.
And you know, the biggest challenge for me, I always find, is taking that and reproducing that live. And right now I got a great group of players that I'm playing with, and we've done a really good job. They especially have done a really great job of translating what we did in the studio to the stage. So I'm really happy with that.
Now, you've had a bunch of cuts of your songs, so your songs recorded, including Truck Beer Girl from Drew Gregory, who you mentioned earlier, which is a great song. Let's talk about that song for a moment. I mean, you've got all the elements there very cleverly of a country song.
We literally, oh, man, that song, I mean, I couldn't even believe it. I was really happy it got recorded. Drew did an amazing job with it. But when we wrote that song, I wrote that with my friends Dawson Rains, who's from Ontario, and my buddy Aaron J. Goodwin, who is originally from Edmonton, but now lives in Nashville. And we literally wrote that. We tried to make the most cliche song we could write. And as we were writing it, it just got funnier and funnier. And we were actually really happy with the way it turned out. And we played it around for a few, you know, publishers and stuff and our pluggers, and they liked it, they laughed at it, but they didn't think it would go anywhere, so they kind of passed on it. And then Drew was down in Nashville writing for his new record, and he heard it, and he was like, I need to cut that song. And we were just blown away by it, because he did an amazing recording of it, and it ended up being like one of the top 10 downloads of DMDS for like 2 weeks. So it was that was really cool, and ended up getting number one on a radio chart over in Europe. So that was really amazing. And it just goes to show that you just never really know. You know, you could write a song that you end up just writing as for fun and ends up being the, you know, like Red Solo Cup, ends up being what
yeah, I was
hit,
just thinking
right?
That one. That's funny. I was just thinking that one because that took me the longest time to like it because it's catchy, but at the same time, it kind of, you know, grates on your nerves a little bit.
Yeah, and it says something, you know. I think what's cool about a song like Red Solo Cup and Truck Beer Girl and Chicken Fried is like, they're like cliche ideas, but they're, well, not really cliche ideas, they're just, you know, they're simple ideas, but they say so much about a culture or, you know,
mm-hmm.
just the necessities of life kind of thing, you know, just the, you know, the, what's really important, you know, sitting back and enjoying the good times, right, and that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so,
exactly.
I think when a song can do that, that's really, really cool, so I'm glad people are enjoying it.
Yeah, I do think we need those kind of songs. I mean, Red Solo Cup, it did take me a while to warm up, and other people did. It's one of those, you like it, you don't like it, but it's a fun song, and we definitely need songs that are fun. I mean, we can talk about the art of writing and the craft of writing and, you know, avoiding cliches, but you do want to have those just fun, good time songs, right?
Absolutely. I can agree more.
Now, I want to talk about songs that you might have now, Steve, or songs that you're going to write. Do you ever write with an artist in mind and think, man, I'd love to get this to so-and-so? And maybe not necessarily because it's Kenny Chesney or Luke Bryan. Obviously, those would be amazing. But maybe somebody, just for a personal reason, you think it would be really cool to hear their voice on one of your songs.
We've had a few. You know, I think usually if we're just writing, we try to just write to get the best song first, and then we kind of talk, oh, it would be really cool to have so-and-so sing on this, or, you know, if it would be amazing if so, or, you know, another person would cut that. But I think, too, when I like writing with other artists because that, you know, then we can really tailor the song for what they want to say. I've had the opportunity to write with some really, really great upcoming songwriters, artists. One girl out of Georgia who now lives in Nashville, her name is Colby D. She's recorded one of my songs last year and released it. Another girl from West Michigan I've been writing with named Carrie Lynch. She's an amazing singer and songwriter, and it's really cool when you start writing with artists, you start tailoring stuff to what they really, really want to say, and, you know, you bring the craft side to it, and you kind of tailor it to make sure it's universal, but also to give it a voice, an identity kind of thing. And I really enjoy that side of songwriting, too, because I don't really get to do that too often. Usually you're just writing, you know, for yourself or your record, and then
right.
you're writing for just stuff to pitch. But, you know, when you actually write something for with somebody that, you know, they're going to record a song, it's cool because then I think it identifies with people a little more. You know, there's a little more emotion behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I guess when you're doing that, as you talked about there, you want to get to know that person you're writing with because they're the one who's recording the song. So, you know, what are they into? What are their interests? So you want to personalize that song and that experience so that it tells listeners a bit about that person.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, I think, too, when you're writing with an artist, sometimes it takes one or two co-writes to really kind of get the rhythm kind of going, no pun intended. But,
right.
you know, it's get to kind of, you know, learn their writing style and get to know them a little bit. And then, you know, usually by the second or third song, you start becoming a little more comfortable with each other and you're opening up about, you know, more personal details. And you start translating that into the song. And then, you know, you start... becomes a little more honest, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you can break past that cliche or that the surface type of song, and now you're getting somewhere with them musically, and you get a better song out of it. But that's interesting. You said you might have maybe the first two just to get to know that other person's writing style before you start to gel.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you hit it right out of the ballpark the first time, too. I mean, I've had people where, you know, we just have a great, our personalities really match, and we just, you know, mm-hmm. knock out a really great song, and sometimes it takes, you know, one or two or three just to kind of really get in there, and, you know, I mean, not that your first song will be a bad one, but sometimes, you know, your second or third one might be a little deeper and,
right.
or more loose, I guess, and then, the thing, too, is, you know, we all have similar experiences, I think, you know, whether it's, a relationship or, you know, something we all have goals we're chasing and stuff. So if we can tap into common ideas and add specifics, it gravitates towards people. People connect with it a little more. And I think that's what I always try to do or aim for anyway when I write a song.
Is that a challenging part in songs, Steve, the specific part you talked about? Because I think it's easy for writers to obviously write to generalize and maybe not necessarily a cliche, but you're generalizing. So to put specific images or something in it that ties it to a certain setting, is that the hardest part or one of the hardest parts?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I've had songs where I thought, you know, there's no way people are going to get this. I mean, I try to make it universal, but then you have people who say, man, I totally get that. I mean, for example, Tim Taylor and I wrote a song called Live to Tell About It on my last record, and it was kind of based, we had a crazy truck accident a couple years ago in Nashville on the night of a full moon, and we walked out alive, and I don't know how we did, but by the grace of God, we did. So anyway, we had this song called Live to Tell About It, this idea. And then we started writing these verses based on, you know, different stories that, you know, crazy things we've done when we were younger and stuff. And we ended up writing 4 verses to the song. But everyone I've talked to who's heard it have given me their Love to Tell About story. And, you know, you could literally write 300, 400 verses to this thing and have everyone, you know, write their own thing. Because we've all had those crazy experiences that we like, you know, get around the table and talk about our battle wounds over, you know. So, you know, that's one case. But, yeah, I mean... You try to go really specific, but also not. You still want to make it universal where people can identify with it.
Mm-hmm, exactly, and so many of the great songs out there, even though there might be specific pieces in it, we can relate to. And one that comes to mind is "The House That Built Me," Miranda Lambert, and of course, she talks about her dog in there and learning to play guitar in her room and different things like that. Most people can relate to the dog part, but maybe there's stuff in it you can't relate to specifically, but you relate to the overall theme of that song about going back to that house you grew up in.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, on the flip side of that, it's like, for that song, I mean, whether you grew up in a good household or a bad household, usually the place where you grew up defined who you are. It did build your personality.
Right.
And so, you know, really from any angle, you can really identify with that song. Hopefully positively, but you know, it's that kind of thing, you know. I think that's what made that song really magical.
Yeah, it's something that people can relate to regardless of the situation. It's interesting too, you said we'll all relate to a song differently, maybe in a positive way, maybe not so much, but we can find ourselves, you know, in a lot of different songs. Let's turn to another one of yours, Steve. From your album, Temptations, people can head to iTunes to download any of the songs or the full album. The one we're going to hear now is called Poison. And what can you tell us about this one, Steve?
This song is kind of gave me the idea for the album because we were recording a bunch of songs and writing and stuff, and I didn't really have a theme in mind. Or I identified what the theme was of all these songs until I kind of wrote this one. This one I actually wrote by myself, and I rarely ever write a song by myself now. And we all have those things in our lives that are just bad for us, but we keep going back to little addictions, little guilty pleasures and stuff. And they feel really good at the time, and sometimes the next day you're just like, you know, I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have partied a little too hard, or I shouldn't have, you know, shouldn't have called that girl, you know, that kind of thing. Or so it's that's what this song is kind of about. So I think everyone has their poison.
Something we can all relate to. This is my guest, Steve Rivers, and Poison on In the Country.
Like poison, you're just
That is Steve Rivers here on In the Country with his song called Poison. That is found on his Temptations album, which you can find at iTunes. And again, another song with great production. I also love, Steve, the moments in there where it got a little quiet and it was just more down to you, your voice and the guitar, and then back up again.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. Funny enough, that song started off as a demo that I kind of did at my home studio, and we just kind of built it up from there. I took it to my friend Daniel Dennis, who's got a really great studio down in Nashville, and we just kind of hung out together for an afternoon and just kind of worked on it, threw some drums on, some guitar parts, and that's another song that I kind of had the sort of one vision for, and he kind of had a different one, and I kind of just went with what he did, and I really, really liked what he was doing, and I kind of, he added like some really cool slide parts to it, and I was like, yeah, they really captured what I was kind of going, or the emotion anyway, and it turned out way better than I ever thought it would turn out. So, yeah, I'm really thankful to him for that. So,
that's really cool. Now, you've had the opportunity to open up for Charlie Worsham at a place called The Intersection in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Charlie is a great new artist on the scene. I saw him perform with Vince Gill. He was one of Vince's guests on a lineup at the Ryman a month or so ago. But Charlie's had a couple of singles out at radio, and he's got a really good voice, almost like an old school, not a George Jones, but more like a Vince Gill or a Diamond Rio sound.
Oh yeah, he's got almost like an old classic soul in a young boy's body. Like he's an incredible musician. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen him play the banjo, but he can. I mean, he actually plays like a legit 5-string banjo, not a grand guitar. Like he's really good at guitar and everything. But just a really cool guy. I mean, I've had the opportunity to open up for a few big people now, and a lot of times they'll shake your hand and be really polite to you, but that's about it. But Charlie, he hung out with us for a bit, and after the show was done, and just talked to us a little bit, and really, really appreciated us opening up for him, and just an all-around really, really down-to-earth kind of guy. So, I'm just really, really thankful for that opportunity.
Yeah, it's got to be cool to meet these people and to know and find out that they're good people, nice people, and maybe they give you some advice or they just chat with you, but that's got to leave a good impression.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're all, at the end of the day, we're all kind of in the same boat doing the same kind of thing, and, we're all different stages in our career, but, just to help, people out, I think it's one of those things where it's not so much competition in the national market. It's almost, there is in the big scale things, but I think amongst musicians and songwriters, it's just, we're happy to see people become successful and encourage other people and help give a helping hand out and as much as you can, and I think that's what I really love about the whole Nashville community vibe anyway, is just everyone's willing to help each other out, and it's all about the music, right?
That's awesome, and I hear that so much on the show and outside the show, how people are willing to help other musicians help musicians, and it's just great that it kind of continues that circle, and then a newcomer on the scene who gets helped out when he's had more experience, he or she, they turn around and do the same thing, so it's passing it along. I also wanted to congratulate you, Steve, winning the Michigan State Final in the 2013 Texaco Country Showdown. Now, that is a really cool accomplishment.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, it was a really great opportunity to compete in that this year, last year. I was thinking about entering it a couple years ago when it used to be the Colgate Showdown when I was in Tennessee, but I didn't really get my nerve up, and I thought, you know, well, wait another year or so to do it. And my fiance, she's from West Michigan, and she had a friend that worked in one of the radio stations that was sponsoring the competition, one of the locals, and he reached out to her and said, well, hey, we're doing the local for the Texaco Country Showdown here in Grand Haven, and we'd love to see you come out and compete. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll give it a shot, and went out there, and I was one of eight contestants locally, and went out there with my band. I got a really great group of guys I played with out there, and we won the first competition, and just really happy to do that, and met some really great people in radio, and then we're like, oh, wow, we're going to state, and you know, first of all, I was really happy. I never thought we got past the first round, but to get the state, that was really cool, and just meeting other really great musicians across the state was fantastic, and we end up winning that, which was also remarkable. We didn't think we got that far either. So by the time we got to the Midwest, I mean, we were just really happy to be that far and to meet other people from Minnesota and so many states around there, trying to think now. Illinois, there's a lot. I think there were about eight states in the Midwest there that were competing for the Midwest title, and yeah, we're just really happy to get that far, and wish all the best for the people that are continuing this year. So,
and that's a pretty big country music loving area, right? The Midwest.
Yeah, I mean, the Midwest has been fantastic to me. I mean, I've been there for about a year and a half now, expanding my fan base, and you know, the radio stations have been fantastic to us. We've been meeting fans from all different parts of Michigan, and we're going to be now expanding into Illinois and different places, and I mean, there's great country fans everywhere, but there's something really cool about the Midwest, just being around the Lake Michigan area. It's a lot of fun in the summertime, a lot of big festivals, and people like getting out and, you know, going to the beer tents and just getting out to see live music. So it's a really fun place to be.
Now, you talked about expanding your fan base in the Midwest. What are some suggestions for an artist these days, Steve, to do that? Of course, social media is obviously right up there to sort of hit a larger audience. But do you enjoy doing that? Is YouTube a place for you, Facebook, Twitter, those kind of things to reach out and make new fans?
Yeah, I think Twitter is definitely a great tool. I personally need to utilize YouTube a little more. I'm not the greatest with the video camera, so I need to. I've been kind of working on that, and we're gonna try to get some more videos up this year. And we've been capturing the moments in the studio, so we're gonna try to post those videos up soon. But yeah, I mean, social media, that's definitely a way to do it. I mean, especially these days now, you can email a venue and send your electronic press kit out and to kind of show the kind of stuff, you know, you can do and see if they're interested in booking a show with you. You know, maybe email another act in the area that kind of has a following and you can jump on as an opening act for them and just kind of build it. There's no real one way to skin a cat. I mean, I've definitely walked into a lot of closed doors and, you know, just trying to find those open ones and been pretty fortunate to have, you know, just be able to take advantage of those opportunities, and I think the most important thing is to just try to deliver as much as you can when you get an opportunity, because Lord knows they're few and far between sometimes.
Exactly. You get that opportunity, you make sure you shine, and you make the best impression you can while you've got those people sitting and listening and watching. Irene Carroll is another big part of your career as well. She, of course, set up this interview. A great lady, works at the side of radio, publicity, all kinds of stuff. How great has she been for your career?
She's fantastic. I mean, I don't know if she sleeps at all because she's always working around the clock. But I know she's been instrumental, absolutely. She's having a great team is everything. And Irene Carroll and people like Anya Wilson and even members of my band. And, you know, there's other people, especially my fiance down in the States. I kind of nicknamed her my wifeager. She takes care of a lot of things for me, you know, state side of the border. And you know, just making sure, you know, we're doing everything, you know, properly and make sure all our visas are proper and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's when you get to the point where you're starting to get into different territories, you really got to be on top of not just think of this month. You got to think of 6 months down the road, a year down the road, and, you know, be on top of festivals that are coming up in 2015 and all that kind of stuff and really kind of think of It's a lot. You really got to have a calendar in front of you all the time, just to double check things. You know, I'm always cross referencing with people. Are we sure we're not booked on the stage? Do we have anything going on here?
Right.
It's just, you know, I used to be one of those guys that was like, I got to do it all, and then mistakes happen. And it was one of the big things I've learned over the last year is just to let go of certain responsibilities and let other people do it when they offer. So.
It gives you a chance to you can focus on the writing and music and all that and not be bogged down by the details, right, and the business side of things.
I really wish we had 36-hour days. That would be amazing.
Now, you've got a new album you're working on now. You're working towards it, which you can maybe give us an update, but release sometime later this year or early next year?
Yeah, so we're probably going to have a single out by the fall. That's the goal, to have one out by then. And then I think we're going to take our time with it. I don't want to rush this record because we got some really good stuff going on, and I just want to make sure it's right. And, you know, timing, release timing, I think, is everything. And I think, you know, February would be a good time because we really want to push this through all the way through next summer. I don't want to rush it and try to get it out for this summer because it just won't work with our schedule right now. So I think, you know, if we get it out by early 2015, we'll have a long season to kind of push it and tour it and stuff, so there'll be some exciting things happening at the beginning of the year. So
that is quite exciting to know there's new music on the way, and that's a great idea to take your time because that album is forever once it's actually recorded, so you want to make sure, even if it takes a couple extra months or whatever the time, that you get it as right as you can get it because that's your calling card, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and... yeah, there's no sense in rushing something. I think, you know, if it's, you know, going back to that cliche title, when the time is right, you know, it's one of those kind of things. And, we definitely want to get new music out for the fans and stuff. So we're going to try to have something out by the fall and just reintroduce ourselves to radio again and get people excited about the new record. So there'll definitely be some new stuff coming out for sure.
And any kind of new sounds on the album, right, what you've recorded so far, anything that pushes the envelope or we might not expect, or just the kind of quality songs we know from you?
You know what? I mean, it's the instrumentation, I guess. Well, I got some great players playing on this thing, first of all. So we have Daron Zor playing lead guitar on a lot of these tracks. Same with Dan Brodbeck. Dan's won a couple of Junos for producing some awesome records here in Canada. And Daron's played in some really killer bands all over. He's a phenomenal guitar player and been Grammy nominated and stuff. So he's bringing a whole other side of things, and really great bass player and drummer that's kind of unorthodox the way they play, and it's super cool the way they brought a sound to this record that's very different. The other different thing is, you know, we're recording this record here in Canada. The last record was all done in Nashville. This one's going to be all done in Canada because we've gotten Factor, so we're going to be using a lot of the Factor resources that we're very grateful for. So,
That's awesome.
But it's been fantastic. I mean, there's great players everywhere. So, I mean, that's the thing about country music. It doesn't need to come from one place. It can be, as long as, you know, we're true to the songs and we're serving those songs and trying to capture the best performances, you know, really can do a record anywhere.
We are all looking forward to hearing that album. Just let our listeners know once again, steverivers.com is your website where they can keep following you to get updates on the album and check out Temptations and iTunes as well. Steve, thanks so much for coming on the show again. Great to have you here.
Well, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Good talking to you again.
Always a pleasure, and I know we'll see you soon. In fact, at the CMAO is coming up on Monday night. Once again, my guest has been country artist Steve Rivers. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, you can head on over to inthecountryinterviews.com.